What is up, FIFA Tears? Hello and welcome back to the 3 Foot Tears podcast with myself, LAJS, as well as our co-hosts, Merz Goff and Brad. How are you doing today?
I'm a bit poorly under the weather. Got a cold yet again, thanks to the cold weather that we've had recently.
Likewise, I'm still getting over mine as well. I'm seriously hoping that it disappears before Christmas because I'll be a very busy person around that time, so...
It's been a busy period for football as well. We kind of hinted it at the end of last week. The World Cup final happened yesterday, and well, what a game it was. It might be the best World Cup final we've seen, at least in my lifetime. I don't know about you guys and which ones you've seen, but this was quite the game. Didn't really look like being the game that it was until maybe about the 80th minute.
Yeah.
But a hat-trick for the first time since Jeff Hurst, as well as a lot of drama, a lot of penalties. A lot of penalties in this game, and including, obviously, the dramatic ending on penalties. What were your thoughts? I'll start with you, Brad, because, obviously, Messi hasn't made it until he's played in the Premier League. Has he finally made it without
that? That's not what I say. That's not what I say. It gets turned every single time. What I say is I can't say for definite that Messi is better than Ronaldo until I see Messi in the Prem. But I am so glad that he got his World Cup before he retires, because undoubtedly the guy is world class. He's had a fantastic career, and what a way to cap it off. I think now I'd be looking at to see whether he maybe gets a move where it's... He maybe takes a bit of a cut, or maybe even does it just as a way of free labor or something back to Barca just to finish off his career, because there's not really a lot left for him. And I don't believe that he'll want to be at PSG naturally. I don't think that's obviously where he would want to be. So, yeah, I'm interested in seeing that. But, yeah, so glad he didn't get it. More glad that that stupid face that Mbappe pulled when Harry Kane missed the penalty is now going to come back to haunt him. Really, really incredible game. Literally had everything you would ever want other than a red card, which arguably you would say you don't want in a game of that magnitude, because it would probably ruin a game. But yeah, fantastic, fantastic.
Merz, anything to add?
I would like to pose this question then. So now that Messi has won the World Cup, Brad,
yeah,
does that now settle the score of whether Messi is better than CR7, regardless of this whole Premier League talk?
Well, no, because I think that is... I don't think there is a regardless. I think that the best league and the toughest league in the world is another thing to be measured by. And, not only did Ronaldo do it first time round, but arguably at the start, when he came back, he performed pretty well, considering he's a 35-year-old... playing in the toughest league again at that age. I mean, obviously his fitness and his statistics say he's, more like a 27-year-old. But yeah, so for me, I just think, because at the end of the day, it's always come down to that thing. We talked about it in the past, but Messi hasn't come up against those sort of rugged teams that dig in and are a bit bullyish and stuff like that as much in La Liga as he would in the Prem. I know we've not got as many as we usually have in this season. The likes of Burnley obviously aren't there this year, but certainly they're the sort of teams, coming up against a team like that, like a Sunderland, like a Stoke, they're the teams I want to see how well he performs, whether he gets some of the challenges that he usually gets day in, day out. I mean, if that referee in the Netherlands game is there, then he'll get them challenges all day. But... yeah, that was the only disappointing thing about the journey to the World Cup final was that ref.
So doing it against the best players in the world doesn't quite cut it then?
I don't think it's always about that, no. Because history has proven that the best players in the world don't always get on. I mean, look at Belgium.
Yeah, but it's just still playing up against the best players in the world and... still don't do the Champions League, but hey ho, we could go on about this for ages.
Yeah.
But in terms of my thoughts and opinions on the final, I thought it was a great final. Penalties, there's nothing really too controversial about them. They're all sort of correct decisions. penalty shootout, Martinez.
He's unbelievable.
The Eshousery.
He's unbelievable.
He's proper mind-gamed. Yeah. The French players there, and I think he definitely got in Tuchemeni's head, I reckon, which is probably what main reason why he missed that shot. Mm. To be fair,
yeah, it's a lot of pressure on a young kid, yeah. Isn't it? So mm-hmm. you think of Saka in the Euros,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You, obviously, Tuchemeni similar age, but has commanded a huge price tag, but that's not really relevant. It's a lot of pressure on his shoulders. I came into this thinking, what would be the most ironic thing, and apart from Mbappe missing, because he's already scored two penalties and things like that with the Kane situation, I thought it would be the most ironic thing possible. Turan missing in front of his dad. That's what I was expecting to happen. That's what I thought was going to happen. But you always... I said from the get-go, the favourites instantly are Argentina as soon as it went to extra time. Even though France had all the momentum, that looming threat of penalties, Emi Martinez is up there with the best.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt.
Up there with a Tim Krul super sub-esque. Like, obviously, I'll put him ahead of that because he's a more well-rounded goalkeeper than Tim Krul. Yeah. That might hurt you, Brad, a little bit of him being Norwich keeper. But, yeah, if you want someone in goal for you for penalties, I know Hugo Lloris has saved a few in his time. Didn't exactly look good out there yesterday in terms of the penalties because two or three of them were very gettable.
Yeah.
But I know he saved the one against Aguero, he saved the one against Aubameyang, he saved a few in his time. So...
No, I thought, overall, the game was an absolute cracker. And I think that the other thing is to say is that arguably, going into the penalties, France should have won the game. If it weren't for the fact of Martinez's brilliant save... At the end, in that extra time, like there were some unbelievable saves to keep both sides in the game, and those goalkeepers need to come away from that feeling pretty good about themselves. I mean, Martinez more than anyone because he makes you feel like you missed a penalty before you've even stepped up. So it's good.
Yeah, I mean, Colomwani's the chance I think you're on about the one on one.
Yes,
the keeper's done well, but he should bury that. The keeper is second favourite in that situation.
He should, but he has come out very quick and spread himself very well.
Oh, he's come out very quick and spread himself. But speaking from a goalie's perspective, you're always second favourite in that. In a one on one like that, you're trying to make yourself as big as possible and narrow the angle. But
yeah.
The goal scorer's got so many options, whether they drill it low, whether they dink it, they've got so many options that basically mean it goes past you. You just got to do your best, and Martinez clearly did in that situation.
Yeah.
But talking of the best players and the best players in the world, this is what FIFA thought the team of the tournament was, and there's definitely a hot take or two in there. So, obviously... Let's get straight to the hot takes of the two England players. You could have argued maybe a Rashford, maybe a Saka, Bellingham. And any of those could have been credible shouts. You could have even maybe got slightly laughed at, but a half shout of Harry Maguire. But Phil Foden and Harry Kane. I don't know what World Cup EA were watching, honestly, if they thought that they were credible shouts. Harry Kane chipped in with a few assists against Iran. He got the... goal against Senegal.
And France. Yeah.
And then one penalty against France, correct?
Yep.
And then obviously missed the second. Not exactly a well-beating World Cup. You could argue, say, maybe an Enner Valencia. Well, Enner Valencia's already got a card in SBCs, but that's not stopped EA with stuff like this before. But you could argue there's different attackers that deserve and warrant their place over Kane. And Foden, didn't he only start two games?
Yeah, Foden surprised me more than Kane.
Kane feels like a name value pick rather than... There was definitely more credible options, in my opinion. But Foden's definitely a baffling one.
I mean, you say that, but I'd say Gavi. This is an even more baffling one to have in the selection of team of the tournament. Spain, that got knocked out in the round of 16... didn't even do that exciting in the group stages. Yes, we beat Costa Rica 7-0 and stuff, but you know, it was a dogged performance and a draw against Germany and a loss against Japan.
So do you feel maybe that you replace that with, say, Bellingham as the midfield option for, say, a slightly underperforming nation and then stick in a different nation for attackers?
I was going to say, if you go for a young player, because if it's going down the, oh, we just want to put a young player in there that maybe performed well, Musiala
yeah.
from Germany. Even though Germany did get knocked out at the group stages, he was arguably the best performing player.
In a sense, he created a lot of chances, but he also, I think, wasted a lot of chances. If I remember looking it up, I think he had the at least top five worst goals to XG sort of situation going on, if I remember rightly. Most chances up there for top five most wasted chances. So I don't know about Musiala. In future tournaments, he sure will be a credible shout, but I don't think it was... He created a lot, but he also wasted a lot.
My only thing with them is obviously they had the Phenom promo, so that obviously had Bellingham and Saka, didn't it?
Whilst true, if it's a team of the tournament, I would have expected it to be slightly... You'd have hoped that... Well, you'd know they'd have probably put that on hold for them. You raise a fair point, though. You do raise a very fair point. That just leaves the door open for, say, Rashford.
Yeah, definitely Rashford. More than Kane, you know, but... Then again, we don't go and play him when we should do, so...
Indeed. So, let's go through the full team. The rest of it seems fairly credible from what I gather. So, we've already mentioned Kane, we've already mentioned Foden. Messi gets in, no real shock there. Golden Ball winner. We don't see Enzo Fernandez, but that's because he got a showdown in the week prior. So, that makes sense on terms of them not wanting to repeat cards. Same with the Saka / Bellingham side of matters. Theo Hernandez at left back. Now, I don't know who I'd replace him with at left back, but throughout this tournament, he didn't. He scored, obviously, in the game against Morocco, but it didn't. Throughout the tournament, he got turned by Saka a bunch. In the final, he got turned a bunch, and it didn't exactly impress me too much in the prior games.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a pick that could have been changed, but I can't think off the top of my head of a left back to put in. In his place, so...
The thing is with Theo Hernandez, you're saying getting turned, but bearing in mind, he had no support on that left-hand side because Mbappe would stay high up the pitch, and the only time he would ever get support is when Deschamps would, like, change Mbappe into the middle and then, like, maybe bring on... Like, for instance, when he brought on Thuram, then Thuram would help support Hernandez and... shore up that side of the pitch. So even though yes he had those sort of situations, he wasn't doing too bad with what he had to deal with, basically.
Because who was it the Croatian right back? I know they've I think they've got a limit on two players per nation in this, but
he played incredible.
I'm pretty certain he played incredibly, but they've already put Perisic in to play down the left, and then Gvardiol was arguably one of the best young centre-backs at the tournament. One of the best centre-backs at the tournament. So putting in a third Croatian player would probably have been taking the mick a little bit, but that he did do an incredible job, didn't
he? Yeah, he did.
I can't even remember his name.
It begins with a J, doesn't it?
His name.
Something
like that. I'd have to look it up, sadly. But Cody Gakpo, understandable. Yeah. Diogo Dalo was solid from what I remember. Obviously, Portugal going out in the quarters to Morocco, but from what I remember, he had a pretty good... Is it two fullbacks for...
It was, yeah. Guerreiro, Rio, and Delo, which surprised me because a lot of people were talking about how good Bruno Fernandes was, but, you know.
I mean, he already got a card a couple of weeks ago in the stories, but that's the only thing that sort of held that back.
Yeah.
And Goncalo Ramos obviously already got his
SBC,
card
yeah.
for the Future Stars sort of remembrance stuff for Phenoms last week. So they've sort of handicapped themselves with stuff there. The only players remaining that we've not mentioned are Thiago Silva, Dumfries, Bounou, and McAllister, as well as the mini release of Doan, Amrabat, and Casemiro. For me, the next card is a little bit schneid for me here. A little bit schneid. That normally when a cup final happens, they'll give someone a card for a man of the match. Now, the person they gave this to Hazard ones to watch. They gave him a team of the tournament card despite him not playing too much, and that is Angel Di Maria.
Mm.
So to get round giving everyone a 4-star weak foot, 5-star skills Di Maria, that then no one would bother doing the SBC, they've had to make him a team of the tournament. It's a little bit schneid, but I completely understand it, because otherwise, who would complete this SBC?
Yeah.
And that answer is people that didn't do ones to watch Di Maria.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Would the one to watch, though, be upgraded in terms of 4-star, 5-star? I'm pretty sure the one to watch would get the in-game stats, but I don't think it gets the weak foot skill move upgrade.
I'm trying to think of an example of one that would have had.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only way you'd like see it is if a team of the week has had an upgrade on weak foot or skill moves, and then they've applied that to the one to watch, I suppose. But I don't know. Has Darwin Nunez had his informs? Have they been upgraded?
I will double check. He has a 3-star on his ones to watch, but I'll double check quickly. But I did say at the time when Di Maria came off that it was a mistake. I don't know why they've taken him off, because him being on penned France back. So I think there was a bit of tactical naivety from the Argentine manager, as that allowed France back in the game.
I mean, he's a bit of an inexperienced manager. He's done a good job considering his experience.
Well, exactly, yeah, you can't knock him, can you?
He's still inexperienced.
Yeah, now got 2 major tournaments under his belt and 2 major trophies won. Hadn't had a club career from what I'd heard. So that's a pretty good record that he's got now. So fair play to him. But I think we will then move on past this team of the tournament to touch on the next promo, because this is not a leak. Today we have received Winter Wildcards tokens. So there is one in an SBC and there's one given to you for free. And what EA have sort of given us is a guideline of what we're expecting in terms of rewards. We'll be getting these, I think, at the end of the week. So we've got a Winter Wildcards Trippier, again, back-to-back years,
yeah.
I find interesting, because last year he got one at Atletico
Madrid. He did, yeah.
And this year now, and both are untradeable as well, fun fact. This time he's in the token rewards. Last year he was an objective. So that's going to be very interesting. And Tonali, the man who loves his untradeable special cards, he's got an untradeable special card again. So anyone who's got those AC Milan special cards, say a Theo, say a Tomori, say the Dest, you're going to be a happy person at the hour as well.
He must be on Santa's naughty list or something to not ever get a tradable promo card.
I mean, last year they sort of let him off the leash. They gave him, I think, a road to the
They did on one of them, yeah.
A road to the final. Yeah. They gave him team of the season and a few things like that. But he always loves an untradeable special card.
He certainly does.
So those are going to be the 2 players coming out. As well as we see a return of the 85 times 10. We get to see EA love lumping these together now. We had it previously with the 84 times 20 this season with the World Cup. We now have an 83 times 25 times 3. I said that probably the wrong way around to make it sound complicated, but basically 383
times 83 times 75?
Yeah, I mean, you can call it that. That just
That's how it's going to get advertised on content creators.
That's how it's going to get advertised, but that just makes it sound way too OP.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, an 83 times 75 with dupes. There you go.
Maybe a little bit better. But, yeah, so that's the top end pick this time. So, compared to last year, our top end pick was the 85 times 10, which retains its 15 token value. It seems like there's going to be 25 tokens, potentially a couple more in packs as per usual. So maybe we'll see 26 this time round. So to show all of the SBCs are currently out, you can check the values of them on the SBC listings themselves. So we've got 2 tokens for a Winter Wildcards Trippier. We've got 3 tokens for an 81 times 11 pack. 3 84 plus player picks with 4 options in those player picks, which is not half bad for 5. 10 tokens and 83 times 25. 10 tokens also, you could get a Winter Wildcards Tonali, which we mentioned previously. 15 is the 85 times 10. also for 15 is an 85 plus Winter Wildcards player pick times 5 options. So of the team that will be released on Friday that we don't know, and if they are out, I don't want to see the leaks. Of those players, you'll get a pick of 5 of them. That's for 15 tokens. And then the 83 times 25 times 3 for 20 tokens. How are you looking to split these? I know what I'm looking to do. But what are your guys' thoughts on how you're going for this? Are you going just per packs, or are you going to take the players in a mixture?
For me, there's not really much in terms of the ability to mix and match. Like you can do when well, I say that, but in terms of like mix and match, you can do like maybe 2 or 3 things. Like you can't go and say do 4 or 5 different sort of like potential options. So for me, I think it's just going for the big one, going for the 83 plus times 25 free packs of those basically for 20 tokens, and then maybe if I get the 25 tokens, then I guess pick up a Trippier and an 81 plus times 11, which I think is a very underwhelming pack.
Yeah, it is a very underwhelming pack. I think I had what we had last year, and in its place was an 81 to 89 times 10, so it's somewhat similar.
Just a no cap,
actually,
I suppose.
It's an unrestricted version, so it's probably a little bit better than last year's one, but...
Isn't it also the pack that we're getting in part of the World Cup rewards as well?
I can take a look at that for you now.
I think so. I've got a feeling it is.
Let's have a look at each of the levels.
So like level 8 or something, maybe?
Level 8, 81 times 11, correct. Yeah. So you will be getting one of these anyway as your level 8 rewards, as Brad said.
So that may help people to decide if they think they're worth wasting some tokens on, because you'll be getting a free one anyway to see what your sort of average rating across the pack is, because obviously they're all going to be different, or you know, all packs should be different, but you might sort of get one walkout and a couple of boards and then the rest be tragic, which you might then change your mind about. But me personally, I mean, we all know at the moment I've got no internet again, it's going to be a little while, so I don't know how much I'll be able to take advantage of this, so I'll just try and get the highest content packs as possible. Yeah, I've pretty much just packs for fodder to do some more icon SBCs, because ho ho ho, I love an icon SBC.
He absolutely loves the stuff. So I'm planning on just taking the players, really. I'm more a bird in the hand worth two in the bush sort of a thing, so guaranteeing myself a good link to my Inform Tomori and my red Theo is actually something I actually am looking forward to. So that Tenali, whilst it doesn't look like a well-beaten card, is a solid card that would get in my team at CDM.
Yeah.
And in Trippier, it's actually a bit of a sleeper here. It looks okay. Obviously, it's not insane, but stats-wise, what's he looking at? 88 pace with a weird pace split of 93 acceleration, 83 sprint speed. 87 passing, 85 defending, 82 physicality. Maybe that's one you can give a miss. Who knows? But
one from maybe your spare tokens if you've got some. Yeah.
Yeah. If you take, say, I mean, if I'm going for the Tenali, I've got 15 tokens left. So I could either go 83 times 25 and the 84 times 3 times 4 options, or I could go the 81 times 11 in Trippier. It depends which you think's gonna be better value.
Yeah.
And I'm torn on that part.
The one thing that I've got to say about that Winter Wildcards player pick, bit of a weird choice of a rating, in my opinion, because I don't think there is going to be many, or if at all, any players under 85 rating. Because if I've just looked back at the past 4 promos, there has only been one player in those 4 promos that had an 84 rated or below player. Everything else has been 85 or plus. And I think at this stage of FIFA as well, this seems to be where the benchmark is now, pretty much, on the special cards is 85. So it's a bit of a weird choice, like to say 85 plus, if then every player in the promo is going to be 85 plus. Like, I think it would have been better as an 86 plus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at last year's to try and gauge what we've got here. And to be honest, I think the only one you don't get is the Birmingham player last year. He was 84, then you got Achiampong, Niakate, Twanzebe and Bolo at 85. And in Team 2, doesn't miss anyone else. So it's a weird rating for them to call, I definitely agree.
Yeah. But if you
unless
remember,
they're just saying you're not getting the absolute biggest stinker.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is fair game.
But if you remember, and cast our mind back to last week when we spoke about the ratings like going too high too early, maybe they've got some plans to stick some cards in this that are very different to the usual things we get, and it will maybe be that there's only maybe one or two cards touching that 90 bracket again, because they're going to just flood the lower end. But the thing is, I'm expecting uproar from the community. Well, that would kill the promo. I'll disagree with it. I think it's right. Say like they boost a card from like a 79 to an 84, 85. It does give them scope still to make that car look like a very good 84, 85. Like, you know, a higher 84, 85 than it should be. A bit like the old Silver Stars are. So, yeah.
I get what you're going for here, but I think we're already, with the cards that have come out, that'll be too behind the curve already. As much as I don't want it to be, I think it's way too late to start doing that. That needed to start after Ones to Watch.
And the other problem is, if you're saying that they release an 84, but actually stat-wise, he's like an 86 or an 87. Problem is then, is if they get another special card down the line, because, you know, EA like recycling content and stuff and players for these promos, then does that mean the next card would have to be of stats that are like 90 or 91 rated, which means that you're creating this problem where you're then having to create the cards too high up in terms of what they're actually physically looking like.
Yeah, but I think that's where, like we said, for instance, like a Twanzebe, like he wasn't going to get another promo card very likely. You know, I think that's the sort of players you'll be finding in this promo. I think they'll be a bit more niche.
Also, to be fair, when you say promo card, to be fair to you, Team of the Weeks would be lower.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely a few examples that I can't think off the top of my head that have got promos and then got a Team of the Week and it's been a lesser rating. So it's just been there for the sake of it. But to be fair, this reminds me of a conversation I had the other day. I've already mentioned Morales on this podcast more than enough times, Team of the Week Morales, FIFA 12. But I was discussing it with someone. Like, that would be, I guess, the level of progression you're talking about. You only went to an 82 rated in form, but had 90-odd shooting. Didn't get much of a boost anywhere else. It was almost, I guess, Rule Breakers-esque in terms of upgrades. But that would be, I guess, if you were starting the year and doing stuff like that, would make sense and sort of go in line with your 77 to 84 sort of a jump being that kind of a monumental upgrade in, say, one or two stats that makes the card good and makes it usable, whilst also not overdoing it. To implement that mid-year kind of means that the top tier cards that are already out are going to outclass them.
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
It always goes back to that. If they were going to do something drastic, it would have to, everyone be hating it because its cards aren't as good and boring, blah 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 blah. But me and Merz were having a discussion earlier today over Discord about this, and it's about where to find the balance and promos and being a content creator. Do you want more regular promos, or would you prefer to be a bit of a gap? I'm more the gap side. Merz would be more wanting the regular content. As a content creator, that makes sense.
I like the regular content, but I'll always go back to that thing of saying that I think that everything should start lower rated. This year, obviously, that was a bit more like that, but not quite. But yeah, I still think that, like, we shouldn't be getting at the top, at the start of a year, a 90 rated card. I think they should, like, 85 is your premium, and then you go down, and then it gives you more scope over the rest of the year. If they're not going to do cards that are 100 rated, then, you know.
The thing is, I will just bring up the fact that on FIFA 15 when Ronaldo had a God knows how many cards, but he started at 92 rated. That, or they just put them in less things. They made them more reserved. So you don't just chuck Ronaldo in Rule Breakers, for example.
Yeah, but they love money.
Stuff like that. They do love that. That's the easy sort of solution. Put big player in, everyone's excited. But we're getting really off track here. Really off track here from the Winter Wild Cards. But we do have to start talking about some of the SBCs that have been coming out the last few days. So going to start off with the Icon Pack. I've not done it yet, but there is a 88 plus mid or a FIFA World Cup icon upgrade out for the next 5 days. So when this comes out, it'll be out for the next 3 days. I want to do this. I just need to get the fodder from, say, Rivals, and potentially it's going to be tough. Maybe the first, I'm going to have to rush Champs first day or something like that. But I've seen a few stinkers from this, but I always back myself randomly. Mez, have you done yours and care to elaborate as for Brad, as well as Brad? You've not done yours yet, but you're planning on doing it, I believe.
I am, yeah. I think I'm the same as you. I need to get some fodder because So recently I opened my 83 times 20 times 3. So 83 times 60. And I put my duplicates and things into Stoichkov. I now have the World Cup icon Stoichkov. So I'm almost banking that I'm going to get a good one and I'll get mid Stoichkov, and that'll really annoy me. Yeah, I need to get some more fodder, and I was planning on doing some of the upgrades tonight, provided they are player picks. Obviously, it's not turned out that way. So yeah, I'm the same as you. Just need a bit more fodder, but I'm definitely doing it. It's only an 87 and 85 rated team at the end of the day. So yeah, but I have also seen like 90% stinker.
Okay, so I've done two of them. So I did one on the Arsenal Past and Present and on my main account. One was very good and one was very bad. However, because of the account that the very good one is, it's very bad. So the very good icon that I got was mid Gorinchka.
Nice.
So he's like 800k, that's very good, but I packed him on the Arsenal Past and Present, so very bad. And then I got mid Varon on my main account, so yeah. So 80k, I think he was, when I price compared him last night.
Actually,
so
yeah, that much, to be honest.
Not the best. I think I was trying to work out how many icon SBCs that I've done so far this FIFA. I believe I have done 6 so far, and I've got a hit success rate of 33%. So I've had Zidane and Gorinchka in those 6.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd say generally speaking, yes. Like majority of the time, you are going to get a stinker, but it's always about that numbers game at the end of the day. That I say to people, if you don't open up a serious amount of packs and like these icons, like if you only do one, yes, you're probably going to get a stinker, yeah. And you might just leave it at that. But if you open up 5, you might. I would say chances are you get at least a mid tier icon probably from those 5. You probably won't get like a Pele or an R9 Ronaldo or Eusebio probably from them, but you could probably get a pretty solid icon.
Well, I can from relate to that for you straight away. So I got my two dud ones that I've opened were Lineker and Bobby Moore, and then I got 92 Maldini.
I think I've done 3. I only remember 2 of them. One's a dub, one's an L. But I actually enjoyed the L, so I'd say it's probably a small L, just because I actually enjoyed using it. Hadji being the L, but I actually really enjoyed that base card.
I've heard it's good, actually, yeah.
And then base Carlos Alberto from the last one. It's not ideal when you see Brazil and you dream big, but a really good defensive card. And I feel I got another one, and I sent him into an SBC, which tells you my thoughts on it. Now, moving forward onto the next set of SBCs, we've had 2 sets of showdowns. Obviously, we referenced the World Cup earlier. So the SBCs in question was Miroslav Orsic. We had Agüerd for Morocco. We have had Correa and Upamecano. So the ones that obviously got the upgrades, if you didn't watch it somehow, were Correa and Orsic. Now, I've heard mixed things on that Orsic. I've heard a lot of people say that card looks insane and a great super sub. But the Oracle of Football Knowledge himself, GH, says, nah, I didn't do him, he looks bad. So obviously, that's a really heavy opinion and we need to factor that in.
Yeah, let's just make all the viewers of or listeners of our channel aware that we don't actually value GH's opinion. So I would suggest that you guys do the exact same. And actually, I'm pretty gutted that I didn't do that SBC because that is going to look sick.
Yeah, so I definitely did do that SBC and I'm looking forward to using him. There's going to be... It's a shame that Livakovic didn't get a goalkeeper card for Team of the Tournament, but it's understandable it went to Banu.
Yeah.
So it was an either-or situation. Both had incredible World Cups and were big parts of the reason they got as far as they did. For me... It looks like a really... I did both the cheap ones, so I did both the Morocco and the Croatia ones. I did not touch the expensive ones. I did not have the fodder at the time, although that Correa looks like a monster.
He does.
And the Upamecano is a lovely little perfect link to Moments Pavard that is out in objectives currently. Mm-hmm. So if you did do that, you got a nice-looking card that you can... sort of pick up for a perfect link to that now.
And the Coman that was available in swaps still as well, World Cup swaps.
Very, very true. And that is a nice little trio. Mm. Two centre-backs and a winger to then get full chemistry guaranteed on those players very easily. Merz, did you do any of these?
No. The only showdowns that I was maybe considering doing was for the France-Argentina game. I wasn't really... too bothered about the Orsic or Agüerd cards. Carrera? I mean, the problem was with Carrera and Upa was probably their price. That was probably the only sort of like downside for me for why I probably didn't end up doing them in the end.
Yeah, it's completely understandable. It's the reason it priced me out of it as well. And then looking at other cards, we mentioned Moments Pavard, but there was also a Moments SBC for a World Cup winner in Mario Götze. I believe both myself and you have tried this, Merz?
I haven't used him yet, but I have completed him because I thought for the price that he is, it's one of those sort of like cards that you just can't refuse to do in some ways.
And Brad, I'm assuming you've not had the time to look.
I have not. I've seen the card, but he's not. Like I said, I'm very selective about my SBCs and things to do this year for my team. And yeah, he doesn't fit me, unfortunately. He would have done when I had more Bundesliga players, and I would have definitely have had him. But now I'm pretty much hero, icon, and prem. So, oh, and Lee Gunn. Yeah, because I got Terrier and Govu. So.
Yeah, I just didn't optimise my team for him. I had to play him centre mid for a team, but I could have easily played him at cam. So I've not used him in his optimal position. So therefore, my experience with him has not been incredible.
Yeah,
but I'm sure if I stick him at cam, he'll do a decent job because I don't actually have a dedicated Bundesliga cam at the moment. So that solves that problem for me. Think that is all we've got time for this week on the podcast, unless you can think of anything else that I've missed.
Not really, other than telling me what is on your Christmas list.
FIFA points,
yeah.
Of course, everyone's favourite.
What about you, Luke?
Got to think ahead to Team of the Year, you know.
You got to keep your eye on on Team of the Year. It is coming up soon. There's only going to be, what, two promos in between, Winter Wildcards, and I'm going to assume Headliners.
I'd say it's pretty much a month away to almost the date, I would say. Because last year, I think it came out on the 20th or the 21st.
Sounds about right.
What's on your list, Luke, other than FIFA points?
Don't really have much on my list at the moment, really. I just sort of don't mind. Whatever I get, I get.
Fair play.
I'm not too picky, surprisingly.
The only reason I ask is I've done this whole podcast just as Santa. So once you watch it back, you'll pick up on some of the puns I managed to get in there. But it's been fun. I'm quite warm, though. But yeah, it's been fun.
Well, that is all we have time for this week. From myself, from Brad and Murs, thank you for listening. And we will see you next week, guys.
Bye-bye. Ho, ho, ho.